You know, reading a book silently to yourself can be, I think, both calming and enjoyable. But hearing it out loud can be an entirely new, different experience. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Today, we're learning how WPR makes a book come alive. We're talking about the making of WPR's Chapter a Day with Michelle Good. She's executive producer, host, and technical director for Chapter a Day. The show airs weekdays on the Ideas Network at 12:30 and then again at 11 p.m. So, are you a fan of the show? What would you like to know about how it's made? You have a recommendation maybe for a book? Hope you'll join in. The number to call is 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or email us to ideas@wpr.org. Michelle Good, welcome. It's good to see your smiling face.
Oh, thank you for having me, Larry. It's good to see you, too.
You clearly have a very strong hand, to say the least, in Chapter a Day. And maybe you could share with us some of your broadcast background and how you ended up working on the show.
Well, I have a very long meandering path to what the position I currently hold. I originally started and still do act. I'm an actor, trained as an actor, worked in London, New York, Chicago, was artistic director for a children's theater company in Chicago and the Campanile Center for the Performing Arts in Minocqua. And after being a huge rabid fan of This American Life, one day I thought, you know, I need to get into radio. And I didn't really know how to do it. I know how to tell stories. I'm a great storyteller. You need that for a theater background. But how to bring a story to the radio and all the technical aspects that go into it, had no idea. So I kind of worked my way up from the bottom. And I started as a weekend board operator, bounced around, what do you know, show manager. I was in marketing, the regional announcer. Then a position opened up that was evening board operator. And out of that, the show Central Time was developed.
Yeah.
And I thought, I really want to be a part of that because it was going to have a lot more working parts. It was really going to teach me the nuts and bolts of technical direction. So I started doing that, and at one point in time, Norman Gilliland asked me to audition for Chapter a Day, which is a whole side story because my first audition did not go well, and he told me to do it again. And eventually, Jim retired from being executive producer, and they asked me if I would be interested in doing it. I jumped on board, and then Brad Kohlberg, who was our technical director, it used to be two separate jobs, executive mm-hmm. producer and technical director, he got moved on to content creation. And they said, hey, would you be interested in taking over as technical director? So eventually all of my skills kind of hard work paid off.
You're the perfect person for the job, certainly given your experience, but also your talent as well, because you're very talented on it.
You know,
there's probably some people listening and say, what the heck is Chapter a Day? It might pay to just explain or describe the show for us.
Well, it's been around since the 20s, but officially, we are coming up on our 75th year of Chapter a Day. It became a full-time weekday program in the 30s. I think it was 1939, I believe. Can't do my math right now. But it's a weekly serialized book. So we read an entire book through in serial form. Usually it's five in increments of five if we can manage it so that people on Monday know that there's a new book that's going to start. But basically it's sitting down and reading. There's a lot more that goes into it.
Yes.
But the short version is we are reading a book chapter by chapter every weekday 12:30, and then repeating at 11 p.m.
You know, I can remember back, way back, Carl Schmidt sitting down and reading, and not a whole lot of editing or production went on. Like, Carl was really good at it in, anyway, but the I think there's probably some differences between reading the show 50 years ago and what it's like today.
Oh, definitely. It used to be done live.
Yeah.
So it was, you know, you just sat down and read what was in front of you. They didn't edit or abridge the books, which we now currently do to fit into our format and to give it a little more drama, you know, to keep the book interesting for listeners. So we're not ending in the middle of a descriptive passage or something like that. And to keep it to our 29 minutes. Before, they also tended to read books that they were just reading themselves. So yeah. If it was, you know, a book you picked up at the library, you might just come in and read it on chapter a day. Now we do a little more research into what we're reading. There's a little more background goes into it. And there's a lot of books that come across our desk that just don't work for chapter, unfortunately.
Yeah, here's one that did. We have an audio clip from February of you reading A Beginner's Guide to America. And of course, we'll be talking with Roya Hakakian at 11:45 today. But Trina LaSousa, Trina, you got that up for us? Let's listen.
When it comes to popular sentiments about immigration, the bad news is the same as the good. Anti-immigrant hostilities are as old as America herself. Take heart, let them fight you. Someone else had humiliated their great-grandparents for the look of their garb, the shape of their caps, the smell of their food.
Now, wonderful. Why did the team choose to read this book?
Roya's book came across from a publicist, and we are currently trying to sort of broaden the scope of the books that we read. For years and years, we have read a lot of, quite honestly, white men authors. And we've been looking for more books from different types of authors, and when it came across, the thing that appealed to me about it immediately is I am a huge fan of The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. And the title sort of read that way to me. It sort of hearkened to, wow, is this going to be a little like A Beginner's Guide to the Galaxy or A Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy? And as I started reading it, it had that feel. Obviously, totally different topic, but It's so well written. It is so insightful into the immigrant experience that I had no idea about. And looking at America just through Roya's eyes and the eyes of immigrants and migrants, I don't know. For me personally, it reinstilled a sense of patriotism that I have not felt since high school. Yeah. And I think for us, the combination of being so well written, that was also at the time that the Afghanistan refugees were coming. So we read the first part in October, and the first part of her book deals exclusively with like what an immigrant can expect in the first month that they are in this country. And it was so enlightening as to, you know, I'd never heard of anything like that explained like what you can expect, what is the experience, and some of the pain they go through, as well as the exhilaration, the sense of safety. It was just, it's exquisitely written, so enlightening, and the quirkiness of the way that she wrote it as this sort of sassy guide, you know, taking you through the experience, it was just a win-win all around.
I agree with you 100% on that. We should take some calls. Mike in St. Lawrence, thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, Larry and your guest. I've been listening to Chapter a Day, I think, since the early 70s, and I probably missed a couple here and there during the years, but I was going to suggest a book. It's called The Lincoln Highway, and it's by the same author who wrote Gentleman in Moscow, which I thought was a really fascinating book. I enjoyed it thoroughly, the storyline. And I thought The Lincoln Highway might be similar to A Gentleman in Moscow. Now, I don't know if it fits into, like you were just talking about, the format, if it's even readable on the air. And then I had two other comments. The book that's read on the Native American week or month, I think it is. It's also during the pledge drive. But that seems to me to be getting a little bit outdated, and maybe there's another book that could go in its place. And also the same with the Black History Month. I think I've heard that one with Abraham Lincoln and the slaves at least three times. Maybe a new book there too would be a good idea. Just my thoughts.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Mike, for calling. Well, let's see. Michelle, you've got some comments, I'm sure.
Well, Lincoln Highway is actually on my list of books to request from the publisher. It is a new book. And we have read Amor Towles. He's a brilliant writer. My understanding is this book is very different from some of his other books, but we'll see. We can get into a little bit about how we get the rights for a book, and how that works, or how, you know, what books work for chapter, or, you know, what makes a good book for chapter. A lot of times, I've read some really great books. There's a book I just read recently, I think it's called The Thursday Murder Club, and really hysterical book, interesting, a lot of fun, but there are so many characters in that book that as much as I sat down with it three times to try and make it work, because it is such a great book, it's just, it can't be cut or edited in a way that will work without either not understanding a character. You can't cut any of the characters out, which we've done a couple of books where we literally just chopped a character or a side story out altogether. You can't really in that book. So I'm kind of hoping that Lincoln Highway is one where, you know, there's a minimal amount of characters, or even if there are a lot of characters, they have a clear enough storyline that it can carry through with being broken up, you know, day by day by day. In terms of the Lincoln Among the Badgers book and Little Hawk and the Lone Wolf, I agree. Little Hawk and the Lone Wolf, we're going to be retiring that one. We're working on the rights right now for Braiding Sweetgrass. And there's also, also trying to get the rights to Bury My Heart at Wounded Knee.
Yeah.
So that's another one.
Our guest today, Michelle Good, executive producer, host, and technical director for Chapter a Day. Questions for her, join in at 800-642-1234. Email to ideas@wpr.org. Courtney Everett's our producer today. Trina LaSousa, our engineer. I'm Larry Mueller for the Ideas Network. We're taking a look at Chapter a Day on the program today with our guest, Michelle Good, executive producer of Chapter a Day. It's great to have her with us. And let's take another call. Tina in Ashland, we'll go to you. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hi, thank you for letting me be able to say thank you for Chapter a Day. I've only really gotten into it the past few years. But I can tell you, during the pandemic at night, I would be like, oh, this has been a rough day. What's going on? And I would look forward to Chapter a Day at 11 o'clock. It would come on. And I especially liked, I think it was Jim Fleming, who read A Gentleman in Moscow. And it was a long book, but it was just such a great escape. And the one thing that I really enjoy is the music that you guys choose to go along with the book at the end. And I was thinking it would be so great if you could compile, you know, the music that's been played for each book. It just really triggers something. And I thought I would buy that from you guys. That would be a great gift for people that sponsor WPR. It's a real gift the way you guys have matched the music with the book.
Well, Tina, thank you. Comment for Michelle.
Well, thank you, Tina. The readers themselves pick the music that will be used with the book because mostly the readers have the best feel for the book. As a general rule, each reader reads through the book a minimum of 3 times, but often closer to like 4 or 5 times before we record. And then, of course, recording, you do another reading of the book. So we're all very close to the material. So we do tend to pick our own material. I think Jim and Norman have a distinct advantage in that they have both been classical music hosts. So their repertoire is very large in terms of what they're picking. I often go to Norman or Jim and say, hey, I'm looking for something that I'm thinking of Coraline. I said, I'm looking for something that's classical that has sort of a frightened children sound to it, like if a children's playground went terribly wrong. And then he will point me to 5 or 6 pieces, which from there I will pick one that seems to work best for the show.
Well, Tina, thank you again. Chuck in New Richmond, your turn.
Hi, Larry and Michelle. Thanks for taking my call. I would like to recommend a Louis L'Amour book. One of my favorites is called Last of the Breed. And I've always loved Westerns, and I used to teach, and so I get my kids turned on to Westerns, and I think that would be a good choice.
Did you say it was Last of the Breed?
Yes.
Correct.
Last of the Breed.
Louis L'Amour.
I am writing all of these down, just so everybody knows. Now, something of interest with older books. Older books are harder for us to get rights to, generally because there is no longer a publicist connected to the book. Not impossible, but they tend to be a longer process for us to get the rights to it. Often it ends up going from the publisher to the estate, and so it can take, even for a new book, sometimes it can take up to a year to get the rights for a book, but for an older book, generally it is going to be closer to like 6 months or a year before we hear a yes or a no.
Yeah, it's quite a process for sure. Chuck, thanks. Linda in Sheboygan, hi.
Hi, I wanted to thank Michelle for her reading of The Ditch Digger's Daughters.
Mm.
Do you remember that?
No, I don't.
You read it. I think it was you. The Ditch Digger's Daughter, it was about two women who were sisters and they became doctors. And they were ditch digger's daughters.
I think that wasn't me. I'm wondering if that is further back than me, if it might have been, if it could have been Catherine Braun or...
Yeah, it might have been Catherine.
It could have been. Yeah, no, that one does not, and I know all of my books.
You spend a lot of time
them.
But Ditch Digger's Daughters. All right. Linda, thank you.
And we could look into that one, too, a rebroadcast, possibly.
Yeah, yeah. So hang in there. David in Wanakee, your turn. Hi, David.
Well, I have to mention, as several others have, that one of the finest books that you've ever read is A Gentleman in Moscow. And I was so happy to hear it just a short time ago also. You'd read it several years ago, and you repeated it. And I was very happy. Also, I have to comment, for a couple of years, we lived full-time in Florida. And I was able to get Chapter a Day on my iPhone without any problems at all. And it was terrific. Also, the Girl with a Gun series, just a marvelous mystery. Keep up the good work. Love your show, and thank you so very much.
Oh,
thank you.
David, thank you so much.
I'm so happy I came on your show, Larry.
and you know, the different voices, and so we've been talking about them. And the voices, you know, I'm thinking way back, and it was way back. Ken Ost, and who is really good reader, and Carl Schmitt. I was trying to think of the women of, you know, like the early women, Claire Kensler, maybe?
Yeah, and Carol Cowan.
Carol Cowan, of course.
Women, we haven't had as many women as we've had men. I think we have had maybe 5 women altogether, including myself, our current ones, myself and Susan Sweeney. We have had
Cynthia Woodland.
Cynthia Woodland, who has not recorded for us since 2015, although we have aired her book, Just Mercy, a couple of times since then. But she will be returning this year. So I'm very excited to get her back because I just love her voice.
I love her voice, too. And actually, we have a clip of Cynthia reading. Let's do that clip, Trina.
I was in my late 20s and about to start my 4th year at the SPDC when I met Walter McMillan. His case was one of a flood of cases I'd found myself frantically working on after learning of a growing crisis in Alabama. The state had nearly 100 people on death row, as well as the fastest growing condemned population in the country.
And she comes out a little trebly in this replay, but man, she's got a smooth voice.
Yeah, she does. It's like silk, isn't it?
It's like silk. It is. Wow. Last year, well, let's see. I was going to ask you about Norman, but let's go to Richard in Madison. Richard, hi.
Oh, can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Yep. I'm calling for two reasons. One, because I wanted to let you two know that I love Chapter Day. But second, in regard to the music, I very often love the music I hear on Chapter Day, but I find it frustrating that you don't announce what the music is. I'll hear the same music for 3 weeks and have no idea what it is. I have to call your station at a different time to ask if they can identify it for me. So could that be considered? Maybe once a week announcing what the music is?
That is a great idea. Excuse me. We do post what the music is on the Chapter A Day website, which you can find on the WPR.org website on our chapter page. A fast way to find the Chapter A Day page is by just typing in chapteraday.org. We'll take you directly there. As opposed to going to the program note, which is, you know, it'll say, 1 of 10, 2 yeah. of 10, as opposed to going to there, go to the archive, which is at the right-hand corner. You'll see a thing that says Chapter A Day Book List. Click on that book list, search for the book, and we always post what the music is, often the call numbers for it, all kinds of other information. So you can always find the music there. But we will consider adding that in maybe once a week.
Yeah.
It's a great idea.
Well, yeah. Thanks, Richard. Appreciate it. Mary Ann in Madison, your turn. Hi, Mary Ann.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Thanks for taking my call. I am really privileged and honored to be able to say how much I love Chapter A Day. Mm-hmm. I used to work in a job where my car was my office, and so it was just a treat every day to have kind of that mental break of listening to the wonderful books. I'd also like to mention there's a wonderful book called When the Stars Go Dark by Paula McLean. She is the author of The Paris Wife, and she stepped outside of her historical genre. And this book is an incredible mystery, and the female detective in the book is so human that, in my opinion, it really elevates the genre of kind of mystery detective books. She's just such a human character, and I think she would translate so well over to Chapter A Day.
Well, that's a great suggestion. Thanks so much.
Yeah, thanks, Mary Ann. Appreciate it. Leslie in Cottage Grove, it's your turn.
Why, thank you, and how wonderful. Thanks so much for all of the work that you folks do. I have a couple of questions and a suggestion. How much does it cost to license a book for Chapter A Day? Just wondering, must be a process. And second, the suggestions I would have are
Dorothy Sayers mysteries, starring Lord Peter Wimsey, are fabulous, and so are the Dick Francis mysteries. I believe Dick Francis used to be the Queen's jockey, and many of his books center around horses, but not all of them.
Yeah.
But anyway, how much does it cost?
Yeah, Dick Francis, I read many of his books. But anyway, how much does it cost, Michelle?
Well, generally, it is free. Another reason that the more recent books are easier for us to get the rights for is it is free publicity for the publishers. And because of the fact that we are not reading the entire book, that it is an abridged, edited version, it does not compete with, one, their audiobook production, or two, it doesn't compete with the book itself, because if you want to hear the whole book, you kind of have to read the whole book. And you're not getting the whole book on chapter. Unless, and that happens occasionally, we have had a couple of publishers that do a word-for-word clause where you have to read every single book. Recent example of, or not so recent example of that, is Coraline. had to read every single word in the book. That's actually harder than it is to edit it. Yeah. Takes more time to do the editing, but to have it land in the right place on a climax or something that makes people want to tune in the next day. Also, you know, when you cut the book, if you don't cut it properly, you could end up with 5 pages on the last day. So you have to find ways to fill, go back, and, you know, repeat things from the previous chapter to keep it interesting. However, that said, sometimes we do run into books more and more frequently, actually, where people do ask for some sort of stipend for reading the book. Generally, it's somewhere between $100 to $250 is about where it
about
goes.
Where it runs, yeah. And I have to just really compliment you, Michelle. You loaned me your copy of Roya Hakakian's book, which we'll be talking about in 10 minutes or so. And so when I opened it up, you had marked the book. You had edited the book, and it was so insightful to see what you took out and how you moved it, or, you know, move things around a little bit. It was really fascinating for me to see how you do it.
It's a lot more complicated than people think. And for all of the readers, we are all in agreement that the editing is the hardest part, because you cannot. Well, a great example, when I read The Girl on the Train, there was this character who was just casually mentioned here and there. And I kept thinking, well, I'm going to cut this character out. I don't need this character. Who cares about this character? They're just casually mentioned here and there. And I got to the end of the book, and it was the murderer. Yeah. And I thought, oh, my God, now I have to go back and add this character back in and find something else to edit out of the book. But it's tricky because you could edit something in chapter 2 that is referenced in chapter 6 or later on, and all of a sudden things don't make sense anymore. So you have to be really, really careful about what is edited and what isn't edited.
You know, right at this moment, I'm going to put in a shameless plug for the Larry Mueller Show Book Club.
Mm.
And this month we are reading Send For Me by Lauren Fox, Milwaukee writer. It's a novel set in Germany on the eve of World War II and present-day Wisconsin, and it explores themes of sacrifice, belonging, and family ties. So I hope a lot of people listening today will also read along with us and then tune in on March 24th when we speak with the author, Lauren Fox of Milwaukee. The novel, again, it's Send For Me, and it'll be the Larry Mueller Show Book Club selection here on Wisconsin Public Radio. I don't know if you've read it, but I've just started reading it. I don't like to read it too far in advance of the actual date of talking with the author.
And Larry, we should talk about art collaboration, the Chapter a Day and Larry Mueller Book Club collaboration that we're working on.
Yes.
So you have this book club. We follow you. It seemed to me that we should read one of the books that you're featuring in your book club, because then people, you know, it's, well, one, it's this great win-win for both of our programs.
Yeah.
Two, it's a great win-win for the listeners, too, because maybe they don't have time to read the book.
Yeah.
Then they can listen to chapter and still participate in the book club. We're still working on, we tried to work on the Roya book a little bit. It would have worked out perfectly, except I think she had a major snowstorm the day she was going to be on, which was the last day the book was airing. But we're working on trying to find another book we can collaborate on. And when we do, we will keep listeners posted, because you can listen to it on Chapter and then talk to the author here on Larry's show.
And our this program and Chapter a Day have a long history of being connected at the hip.
Yeah, we're like relatives.
I remember one time, and this is a long, long time back, somebody said, well, this show, it was a half-hour show. The show that I'm doing right now was a half hour to begin with. And then there was some talk of extending it to an hour, and we did eventually. But I said, well, what about 12 to 1 then? And they said, well, no, we cannot move Chapter a Day. And then I understood why. I mean, it didn't take much to figure that out. And so we went back the other direction in terms of adding time to the show.
Well, I'm glad that you did. You definitely, I don't know how you could have done a half hour. You've got so much information to cover.
Yeah, there's a lot to cover. By the way, I did try. I went to Carl Schmidt years back and said, Carl, could I do a Chapter a Day book? And he said, sure. Go ahead, give it a try and see what you think. And I already had a full-time job. And when I started, you know, I just spent some time with it, and I realized how much time is involved in it. I went back and I said, Carl, I don't have the time to do it properly. And he said, well, that's what I thought you'd probably figure out.
Yeah. It takes a lot more time than people think. And just for listeners who might not be familiar with Carl, he started back when he was in college in 1941 reading for Chapter a Day. His last book that he recorded for us, he was 90 years old. We just aired it recently. It was Driftless. He died shortly after recording it. If you listen to that book, and honestly, for many people, he is still the voice of Chapter a Day, and we still do air him. If you listen to Driftless, you would have never known he was 90. He was still just as vigorous, just as engaging. His voice was just as amazing as it always was. Yeah.
And we have a clip of him. Let's do that clip, Trina.
Just before the school, Graham slowed down to keep the tires from squealing around the corner. He saw his children at the edge of the deserted schoolyard. Seth standing on the curb and Grace sitting in the grass, both wearing masks of fatigue over worried eyes.
It's so gorgeous, isn't it?
Lovely voice, and he had such a way to tell the story with his. And frankly, you know, once in a while I have a chance to grab a book on tape, and I have to tell you that the books on tape that I've heard do not match up to what we get when we turn into Chapter a Day.
Well, we do. We have pretty high standards for Chapter, both in our readers and in our audio quality. During the pandemic, we had listeners will note that we have been airing a lot more repeats than we normally do, than we normally would care to. We could not get into the studio because of the pandemic. It took us almost a year and a half to get into the studio, and then for health reasons, people didn't want to. But having that studio sound, that very unique sound of our WHA studio here is very important to the quality of Chapter, as well as what the readers bring to it. Something I tell people all the time is what we look for in a reader is a beautiful voice, yes, but it's the ability to transport the reader, to bring that page to life so that at some point in time you stop thinking that you're listening to a book and you're really just living that book. Is the quality that we look for. And it's a lot harder than people think. It isn't just sitting down and reading a book.
I can tell you that from experience, short-lived though it was.
Now, Larry, there is a clip I hope you play. It's a great... When we record, we still, even though we are no longer live, we do record the books. Our goal is to make as few errors as possible, because the editing process when you are reading a book is much harder than it is when you're doing an interview. You know, you're in character, it's hard. The continuity of getting those errors out is much more difficult. So our goal, apart from that beautiful voice and the ability to transport the listener, is to have as few errors as possible. When people do make an error, they try to do something that really, you know, even as the technical director, I get swept up in the book. You know, so somebody could make an error and it could go right over my head because I'm just so swept up in it. So we all make a point to do something very specific so that it draws attention to the fact that you are no longer reading the book. You made an error. Jim Fleming is the king of this. Jim Fleming does a Donald Duck voice, and often he curses in Donald Duck voice, so that you just kind of wake up and go, what's happening? Where's that coming from?
We have that clip.
Well, we don't have him cursing, but we do have many years ago at a party, they convinced him to do something in his Donald Duck voice, and that is what you have as the clip.
Jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh.
There would be no mistaking that was not part of the book. Oh, my gosh, what fun. I think we probably could have gone the whole 90 minutes talking because lots of callers online, and I'm sorry we're not getting everybody here. You know what? Maybe we should come back and do it again, Michelle.
I would love to come back. And in the meantime, if listeners have suggestions for books, I am always looking for suggestions for books, and they can email me at michelle.good, just plain old good, at WPR.org, and I look at every single one.
Michelle, a great pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Larry.
Michelle Good, executive producer, host, and technical director for Chapter a Day. And believe me, it sounds like it's right off kind of the top of people's heads, but it is hard to do well. And she and all of the other readers do it very, very well. In fact, one of the books they read and we talked about a bit is the book A Beginner's Guide to America. I love the book, too. Roya Hakakian, our guest coming up next, and she's the author of that book. Larry Mueller here for the Ideas Network.